Wow. Okay. The rest of us, let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 23, please. Praise the Lord. We are actually going to skip a portion of Scripture in Luke 23 that we will hit tomorrow, or not tomorrow, next week. And looking forward to that with Father's Day coming up. But it'll all come together, and I hope that you'll be here for that. Looking forward to spending time with the dads and everyone else next week. But we're going to skip just a little bit. We're going to start in Luke 23 and verse 53. Okay, and then we're going to read through chapter 24 and verse 12 today. Luke 23, starting in verse 53. And then we're going to go through chapter 24 and verse 12, okay? All right, let's go ahead and get started. It says, Joseph of Arimathea, it's talked about, it says, and he took it down, okay, the body of Christ, and wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now upon the very first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. What is the next word? Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day be risen again. And they, what? Remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. And there arose Peter. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. This morning's message is entitled The Day of Discovery. And what we're going to find is that Peter discovered what he should have already known. And you and I in our lives, we need to be careful because sometimes it's easy to forget what we already know. And so let's ask the Lord to help us with it. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the blessings of being able to assemble together. And Lord, we thank you for our Savior, the reason we get together. Father, yeah, the fellowship is great, the good time, the purpose that we have, but there is no purpose without a risen Savior. So we thank you for Him, and we thank you as we go through this to help us to be everything that we're supposed to be. And I ask it in Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to start with a couple questions. What difference does the Bible make in our lives? What difference does the Bible make in our lives? Well, obviously, as we've already mentioned, it starts with salvation. But as we grow, and we spent a bit of time this morning in our adult Bible class talking about this, about change in our lives. But what's going to bring change? Okay, we get saved. That's the greatest change that will ever happen. But then God's goal is to conform us into the image of His Son. Well, how are we going to do that? How God is going to do it, but how do we allow it to happen? The second question would be this. Is the only time we get the truth of the Word when we come to church? Is that the only time that we're hearing about the life-changing principles and things going on? Is it in the Word of God is when we come to church? Understand that it is unlikely that something we take so lightly will have a great impact on our lives. Something that we do not carry great weight with is not going to have great weight in our lives. If I want to change, I have to allow the Word of God to have free reign in my life. But the only way the Bible can have free reign in my life is if I know what it says. And the only way I can know what it says week to week is to know what it says by sticking my nose in it. How long have you been saved? Do you even know the books of the Bible? The order of them? I mean, doesn't that seem like someone who's been saved a while, even a year or two, should know the books of the Bible? Do we know some of the great chapters of the Bible? We all know some of the struggles that we have in our lives. Well, how are we going to get victory if we don't know Bible passages pertaining to that struggle? We come to a portion of Scripture, a great portion of Scripture. We're finding that Jesus has rose from the grave. Now, we have not been introduced to Him physically yet, that He had physically, but it's being announced by the angels. And here are people, if you read other portions of Scripture, that will tell you that they were hunkered down in an upper room, scared to death. And then when they're told that Jesus has risen from the grave, they scoff at it. Well, how could that be? They had just spent three and a half years with the one who was going to do it. The fact is, they heard, but they did not listen. You and I can read, but that doesn't mean we comprehend. What is it that we find in this portion of Scripture that might help us? Well, the first thing I want you to notice in this is the dedication of the women. I want you to notice the dedication of the women. Look back at 23:53 to 24:3. First of all, we see that they followed Him to the cross. Look at verse 27 of chapter 23. It says, "And there followed Him a great company of people." Notice the next four words, "and of women, which also bewailed and lamented Him." So they followed Him. Here was a group of women that were following Him to the cross. Now listen, when the men had run away. We not only find that they followed Him to the cross, but they were by the cross. John 19:26, which I used that scripture for Mother's Day, we know some of them were very close to the cross because Jesus spoke to His mother and the Apostle John. Remember that? And transferred her basically to His care. But then we also find, notice in verse 49 of Luke 23, it says, "And all His acquaintance And the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off. So you had some women who were close to him that were right up where Jesus could talk to him. And then you had some women who were far away. So we see they went to the cross, they went by the cross, and then they went to the sepulcher. Look at verse 55 of Luke 23. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after and beheld the sepulcher and how his body was laid. Okay? Let me tell you what they did. They followed him to the sepulcher. They honored him. They honored him. They wanted to give someone who had died in shame, they wanted to give him a proper burial. Because the cross was considered the height of shame. There was Jesus up there. Jesus, by the way, was totally naked up on that cross. He's got the crown of thorns. He's being mocked. They've spat on him. They've beat him. They've ripped his beard out. And now he's up there and he's being mocked by the Jewish leaders, by Roman soldiers, by the Jews themselves. But here are these ladies. They're going to honor him. But not only did they honor him, they honored the Word of God. Look at the end of verse 56. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments. Notice what it says in verse, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Do you realize, and we'll learn about Joseph of Arimathea next week, but the Sabbath was coming on. Jesus died, the Bible says, at the ninth hour. At the sixth hour. That would be noon. He died at the ninth hour. That was 3 o'clock. The Sabbath started at 6 p.m. because the Jewish day started at 6 p.m. So Joseph has to get the body down. Well, again, we'll review that next week. But these women, they rushed along to see what was going on, so they knew where the body was, what had been done with it, and all those things. But before they could bring those spices and those ointments that they did to anoint a dead body, as the Jews did, they had to obey the Sabbath. So in the midst of all they were doing, they honored Jesus, but they honored the Word of God. And by the way, you cannot honor Jesus if you dishonor the Word of God. Well, yeah, but I was doing it for Jesus. Not if it violates the Word of God. Amen. They did it. They did this dutifully. Okay, Deuteronomy 21, verses 22 and 23, very clearly teach that a crucified body could not stay exposed. So they're doing their work. But they not only did it dutifully, they did it lovingly. Man, they loved him. You understand that they were with him when the whole crowd turned against him. They were there on the worst day of his earthly life. They were there when they didn't understand everything. Are you listening to me this morning? Don't talk about being a friend unless you're there with them when the chips are down, when the world has turned against them. Now, the dedication of the women, the Bible and the women and the women and the women, while the men ran. What a wonderful picture that we see here. Next, we see in this portion of Scripture the revelation of the angels. The revelation of the angels. Look at verses 4 through 11 of chapter 24. It says, and it came to pass as they were much perplexed. This is as the ladies were coming in. They saw and were trying. We're going to come out of the book of Luke, but I'm trying to stay in the book of Luke. But we kind of got to go out of it a little bit to color in the picture just a little bit. Because all the Gospels give a little bit different picture. Because each of them was written for a different purpose. But so the stone has been rolled away. The ladies come. The Bible teaches us that it was the break of dawn that this was happening. And what do? They come and they see it's rolled away. It says in verse 3, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass as they were much perplexed about, behold, the two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Understand, it was a 2-mile walk from Bethany to the sepulcher. So there was a little bit, now back in those days, it was a whole lot different as far as what was considered a long walk. It wasn't, because obviously they didn't have vehicles. The best they had was animals to take them where they were going to go. And what was the revelation that they found? First of all, that the one they loved was alive. Now we know it's angels. It says they came in shining garments. And you know, the Bible teaches that you could still have an interaction with an angel today. You just might not know it. Okay? And we see that they were in there. And what were they doing? They were instructing them. Can I tell you this? They were instructing them in something that they should have already known. They were instructing them in something they should have already known. You see, they found out that the one they loved was alive. Secondly, that their labor was not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Folks, let me say this, that all the following, all the sacrifice, everything that they did was not in vain. Some of the people who had followed him, they left and they're like, what did we just do? Even his own disciples, what do we find? Even after the resurrection, we find some of them going back to their old way of life because it had not hit them. But may I remind you, just as Jesus, they saw him after he died and he came physically, one day we are going to see him again. The Bible says we will be face to face with him, and all the things we're trying to accomplish, all the things that we're trying to do, even though they might not be as fruitful as we think, may I remind you that our labor is not going to be in vain. All the financial sacrifice you make, all the things that you do for the cause of Christ, may I say to you, it's not in vain.
That's right. Amen.
But they should have known that. To have been with him, to have spent time with him. Isn't it interesting that Jeremiah 29:13 says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. When you are spending time in the Word, when you are serving Him, when you are doing what you can, God is going to reveal Himself to you. Their labor was not in vain. But you know what else they found? They found out that their job was not done. If you look in this, in the scripture, it says, and they remembered his words, verse 9, and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. Okay, their job was not done. You realize that all of a sudden, his words, the things that Jesus said, had become real to the women. They weren't just words on a page. There were Jesus, when Peter's confession at Caesarea Philippi, Matthew 16, 21, he told them that he was going to go to Jerusalem, suffer, be killed, and rise on the third day. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 30 and through 32, while traveling to Galilee, he plainly told the disciples he would be betrayed in the hands of men, killed and rise again. If you go back just a couple pages with me to Luke chapter 18, turn with me. Look at verse 31. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished, for he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on. And they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. In Matthew 12, 40, he talked about the sign of Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights. In the temple in John chapter 2, he told him, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. And when he was the good shepherd in John 10 verses 17 and 18, he alluded to his own power to die and rise by saying, I lay my life down and I'll take it up again. You see, over and over and over again. And how needlessly we fret and we worry because we don't remember Scripture. And we don't remember Scripture many times because we don't know Scripture. And here's Jesus. I gave you six times. There are some say that there's seven or more times where Jesus alluded to this. I think some of them are the same event. And the women weren't even at all of them. And the problem you and I have, why our faith is so weak, is because we are not reading the Word of God and we are not applying the Word of God. It just became very real to them. And do you know when the Word of God becomes real to you? When you trust what it says. When you trust it. When you are living by it. And you know what God does? God confirms it. There are people in this room that are scared to death to be blessed by God. Because in order to be blessed by God, you have got to give up the world's philosophies. Right. You have got to live by faith. Amen. We are scared to death to be blessed by God. And these women, they had heard it for sure. But they've been weeping, and now the angel said, well, no, he's not here. Remember what he said? And by the way, let me tell you this. I had heard a saying years ago. It says, preaching is 90% helping people remember what they already know. Now, I'm not sure in this generation that's necessarily true. I think we're teaching a lot of new folks. And by the way, aren't you glad for people who are coming in learning the Word of God? I remember just getting saved. And I remember going to church, and it was usually a guest preacher who came in and said, let's turn to a familiar portion of Scripture. Wasn't familiar to me. What a wonderful way to live by the book. They remembered his words. They were words of prophecy that they had. Folks, if you're familiar with prophecy, we spent over a year in the book of Revelation, and we went to Zephaniah, and we went to Joel, and we went all sorts of ways back. Some of you, too busy. We wouldn't fret. I'm watching people go out of their minds. They're watching Fox News. They're watching all these things. By the way, that's better than a lot of that other trash out there. So I'm. But understand, that's where they're getting their world perspective. And understand, if you've been around me any length of time, you know I watch current events. I'm watching them, but I'm not watching them from the Fox News point of view. I'm watching them from the Bible point of view. Amen. And by the way, if you think Iran is going away, you haven't read your Bible.
That's right. Amen.
But we see it as a book of prophecy, but if we're not reading it or we're not applying it, it doesn't matter. It's a book of comfort. My goodness. In the times of heartbreak, having to take the Word of God and having to remind myself of Scriptures and talking about all the truths that and comfort that comes with it. And then it's a book of truth. And so many times we just look at this is a book and, man, it's nice. It's nice. And yeah, I'll be happy at the end. But in fact, we live a miserable life now simply because we don't know it. We don't follow it. We don't remember it. We don't memorize it. That's why we have to remember His words. That's why we have to say them to ourselves. That's why we have to do these things. These women had to go back and they had to tell them that Jesus was not there. And that's our job today. Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." We're not to run away from people, we're to run to them. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Matthew 28:19, what was he telling them to perpetuate our faith? You have to tell people. And got a bunch of cupcakes who wear camouflage. Bunch of cupcakes. It's not real to us. If we realized and we really believed it was life and death, it was heaven and hell. The difference between heaven and hell is called the gospel. We'd go see our neighbors. We'd tell the truth. Their job wasn't done. But that's why we have to remember His words. It's one thing to read and hear. It's another thing to recall them in life's different moments. That's why we have to share. Once the women were told of the resurrection, it became their responsibility. And once you and I hear the gospel and we trust the gospel, we trust Christ as our Savior, it becomes our responsibility. By the way, look at verse 11 of our text in 24. "And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not." Those two words, idle tales, is nonsense. So here are the 11 apostles who are in the upper room, quaking and shaking, while the women acted like men should have acted. And they're quaking up there, and they come back and say, look, there were two guys with shiny garments, angels, and the stone was rolled away, and they said, he's not here, he is risen, just like he said. And then they looked at him and go, yeah, right. Hey, can I tell you this? It was their responsibility to tell the truth. It was not their responsibility for it to be received. The women planted the seeds of truth. And what a wonderful thing that is. Can I tell you this? And that was... You can just see the guys. I don't know if they rolled their eyes or whatever it was. That's something I hated. When my kids were growing up, I said, I don't care if you're a teenager or not. If you roll your eyes at me, you're going over my knee. I don't care how old you are. I can see the guys going, yeah, okay, thanks, ladies. Thanks, appreciate it. But you know what happened? Somebody, the guy who gets the bad rap all the time, when in fact he did more than most all of them did. And of course, once the Holy Spirit came down, he was the point man. Peter said, you know what? Even though I don't agree with it, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to investigate it. We saw the dedication of the women, the revelation of the angels. And you know what we see? The investigation of Peter. Look at 24:12. It says, then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulcher, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which come to pass. Turn with me to John, to the next book over, John chapter 20. John chapter 20, all right? John chapter 20. Like I said, I try to stay within the book. I really do that we're studying, but sometimes you just got to go out of it a little bit to get the colored picture. So we're going to do that this morning. John chapter 20, starting in verse 1. It says, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, and when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and the other disciple and came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. That's John patting himself on the back right there, by the way. And came first to the sepulcher. And he stooping down and looking in saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulcher and seeth the linen clothes lie. And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. They then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulcher. And he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Did they not know it? What did they do? You see, we find that in this investigation, we see the resolve of Peter. He ran to see his master after running away from him. He ran to see if it was true. Can I say, what was he denied him? He ran. Man, I appreciate the fact that he ran to him. I appreciate that. Here was a guy who was humiliated His own conscience was killing him. And yet we find him and John were the first men to go to that sepulcher. It's not whether you're going to fall down. It's not whether you're going to sin. It's how you recover. People, well, I'm ashamed of what I did. I'll never go to church again. Why don't you come and join the rest of us who are sinners? And if people want to judge you, let's find the skeletons in their closet. Are you kidding me? Man, I appreciate this guy. I really do. We walked on water, but he looked in a different direction and he sank. He walked on the stinking water. Oh, man. We see that he ran. We see the resolve. He wanted to see this. He didn't understand it. He still didn't, John. But he wanted to see for himself the results. He found the Savior's grave clothes neatly placed. See, what that proved was it wasn't a robbery. Okay? Because they wouldn't have had the time to take his clothes off. Why didn't the Peter believe the women? Do you know why I think? It's because he wanted to find out for himself. And this goes with our whole message today. Turn with me to John chapter 4, just a couple pages back. I had a family member, actually one of Sandy's family members, and good family, good family. But they have a son who is either really away from the Lord or he's lost. And so the husband and I were doing a project at my in-law's home. And he was sharing it with me. And we were going about our project. And when we were done, he had shared his burden about him being away from the Lord. And we talked about this portion of Scripture in John chapter 4. Look at verse 39. This is the woman at the well. She has been saved. Now look at this. She's going and telling everybody, and she says, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman." She received the word, and then it was her responsibility to give it out, and that's what she did, right? All right. Thank you for amening that. And said, "Which testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And said unto the woman, Now we believe not because of thy saying." Look what it says. "For we have heard him ourselves. And know that this indeed is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Okay, can I say this? What they were saying to this woman is, what you're saying is fine, but we needed to find out for ourselves. And we heard firsthand. I said to this relative, I said, "You know what your son needs?" I said, "He cannot live off you and your wife's experiences. You can't do that. He's going to have to see Jesus for himself."
Right.
And that's what Peter wanted. And I think that's awesome. He said, "No, I've got to see this for myself." Hey, you know what the problem is? We'll hear a message from a very polished and gifted person. Clearly, I'm not talking about myself. And then you will find, or you'll hear motivating stories, and that of people who lived by faith. And you know what we want to do? We want to live off those stories instead of living off our own experiences. Is everybody following me here this morning? You should come to church and get encouraged. I think I've made that point. But ladies and gentlemen, you're not to live off of what God has done in other people's lives. So though it can be an encouragement to you, it's what God is doing in your life. And that's what Peter wanted. He had heard something that was so spectacular. And though he didn't understand it and really didn't even quite believe it, but if it happened, he wanted in on it. He wanted in on it. And we hear these stories and we read these spectacular things and we hear of amazing, God doing amazing things in people's lives. Why aren't we experiencing it? It's because we have failed to remember. We have failed to apply. We have failed to take the Word of God as it's been meant to take, and we are not living by it. Peter wanted to see it for himself, and that's how we should handle the Bible. The reason for sadness, fear, and despair that they felt and we feel is because we don't spend time in His words. Difficult things go on in our lives. All sorts of issues are going on. And the reason we struggle and we break apart is because we're not in His Word. We haven't seen it for ourselves. We need to be comforted by the Psalms, among other things. We need to be encouraged by the promises of God. We need to be strengthened by the knowledge and wisdom that God imparts to us on how to live our lives. That would be a large part in the book of Proverbs. We need to be emboldened by His protection. What do I mean by that? In other words, we're so scared that frightened that something bad is going to happen. Oh, when COVID came, I watched people who I had actually kind of looked up to. I saw them literally fall apart. And I said this, and there are people in this room who heard it multiple times. I said, I've never met more people in my life who were afraid to go to heaven. You know why? It wasn't real. I think Paul said, for I am in a strait to be betwixt two, having a desire to be with Christ, which is far better. I'm not talking about being suicidal, but not fearing what's going to happen. Romans 8:31, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Come on now. Amen. But it's the book. It's being in this book. Amen. It's applying what we learn. I've poured my heart into a 10-lesson study for marriages. I'm going to use it. I'm going to condense it and make it my premarital counseling booklet that I'm going to go through with. And yet I wonder how many couples have applied anything that they learned back there. That's not my responsibility. If they want help, that's fine. And we wonder why. We wonder why. We struggle so much. Let me give you a few truths here today. I'm getting all stirred up here. I don't even know where the clicker is anymore. So you'll have to help me out, Steve. Okay, I literally... Oh, here it is. No? No? I don't know where it is. So we'll just go on, Steve. Help me out here. Number one, put it up here. On your worst days, remember his words of prophecy, truth, and comfort. On your worst days. By the way, it's good to remember on your best days too. His words of prophecy, truth, and comfort. He's coming again.
That's right.
It just ain't that bad. It's just not. Of truth and comfort. At times we all need it. Pray for my wife and pray for wisdom as her family is just... I looked at her and said, they didn't give us premarital counseling on this, did they? Remember on your worst days, remember sports of prop. They uncovered because it might be the only comfort that you have. By the way, it's the only comfort you need because it's the truth. Number two, Steve, your most valuable possession is not anything you have, but what you know.
That's right. Amen.
You don't think so? Go to the hospitals with me when somebody's dying. You want to go with me? The only thing they have is the truth that they trusted Christ as their Savior. Family can be there, by the way, which is the only thing I just... In the near future, we will go into my in-laws' home of 60 years. They've had this house for over 60 years. And we will clean it out and sell it. We already started the cleaning out process. We started it a few years ago. John and I started helping. My father-in-law just had enough, and back when he was still pretty strong, and we went in that basement and started clearing it out. Sandy and I went up about a month or so ago, clearing it out. Your most valued possession is not anything you have, but rather what you know. That will sustain you. Got a little app on my phone checking my retirement. Still about 7 years away from when I'm planning on it. And I have to teach myself not to be in a good mood or a bad mood based on the number that I see at the end of each day. Because guess what? It could all be gone. I still have a God who said he'd promised that he would supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Thirdly, Steve, please, your labor and sacrifice are not in vain. What you do for Jesus, it's going to mean something in eternity. We serve a risen Savior. And all these things. And those men took years of their lives and for the most part followed him around. Those women did the same. They sacrificed. They felt the humility and shame because they were followers. And then all of a sudden, as they remembered his words, everything they had done was validated. And one day, everything we do for him will be validated. It's being validated now in our lives in ways perhaps we could not, we don't even know. He's blessing us in ways that we don't even know. We take so much for granted. Can I say this to you? I was sharing in our class that my father-in-law was moved to the assisted living facility on Tuesday. And do you know the one thing that's really, he's adjusting very well. The one thing that's bothering him, Fran, he can't get his coffee when he wants it. I started thinking about that because I am the coffee gatekeeper at our house. I fill the pot with water. I put the grounds in the filter. I empty the filter when it's done. I clean out the pot. I do it. I got up this morning. Sandy had hit the two buttons you got to hit to get the pot going. I went out. After my normal routine, I got my coffee. And the first person I thought about was my father-in-law. I said, yeah, that'd bother me too. If I couldn't get my coffee, I said, Sandy, we're buying him a coffee pot. We're going to put it in his room. He's got a small room. He's like, it's adequate. I said, we're buying him a coffee. Well, I don't think they'll let it. I said, hey, they can't take his coffee away from him. Either that or they're going to have to make the pot earlier, whatever it is that he wants. He's going to get his coffee. I'll be a nightmare when I go into assisted living. I don't care. I'll hand deliver the pot. They say, well, you can't have that in here. Why don't you go away? I bring all that up to say this, that those little blessings that we take for granted, man, they're from Jesus. Your labor is not in vain. You don't know some of the blessings that are in your life because of your labor. And then one day, we're going to be face to face. And all the stuff, all the stuff we thought was so important that maybe we denied ourselves because we were being biblical, isn't going to matter to a hill of beans. Because it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. Amen. Folks, the day of discovery. You know when your day of discovery will be? Some people say, well, when I get saved, well, that's part of it. No, you know what the day of discovery is? Is when you see the Bible as being real and you remember it for yourself. That's the day of discovery. So Peter went, looked, what he wasn't there. He found out for himself. And it's going to change his life. I don't know about you, but there are some areas in my life that I need the Bible to be more real in. And that's only going to happen by living by faith. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to let Him, are you willing to take your grip off of everything the world has taught you that's wrong and live by faith? It'll be the greatest ride you've ever been on. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.